It's always great to hear different stories and different backgrounds. I love it when we have the younger generation of the church who come forward for baptism. But tonight, I just want to spend a little bit of time talking through what baptism is and maybe giving you a bit of a description just in case you're a bit like, why am I here? What's going on? Or maybe you've forgotten, a bit rusty on what happens. But what I want to start tonight is with a question for you all. So quite often at baptisms or in church services, a lot of the talking happens from the front or in the tank. So I would like you to turn to the person next to you, say hello, greet them. Maybe exchange names. And then I would like you to ask them, what is their favorite social media video? But you can only do this in one sentence. Okay, so you've got to get like, what is the video and why do you enjoy it in one sentence? Off you go. Okay, great. I'm not going to go around the room and ask you to like share each other's because we could be here quite a long time if we do that. And you're all a bit like, Rob, why'd you bother asking me that question? But one of my favorite types of video on social media are the ones where you see young people or children's faces during a moment of excitement. So it could be on Christmas morning that they get the present that they've always dreamed of, you know, that initial reaction. Or it could be on a wedding day or at a certain special time, a boyfriend or a husband brings the girlfriend a puppy that she's always dreamed of. That instant moment of excitement on her face is always one of my favorites. I want to show you one of those videos this evening, just so you can see what I'm talking about. So it's going to come on the screen momentarily, but just keep an eye on the young person's face that you are about to see, hopefully. So just in case you didn't get that, I'll just give you a run through. The sound wasn't great, but basically the minister, the preacher was saying, you know, we've been waiting for this moment, and this young person has been waiting for this moment to be baptized. And he literally says, the boy, he goes, oh, get on with it already, and then baptizes himself. So guys, if you cannot do that this evening, that would make John David's life a lot easier when you're in the tank. But it's that excitement. It's that excitement with baptism that I want to talk about tonight. And what is it? Why is it such an exciting time for David and for Rosie, but also for us as a church and for Christians? Well, baptism isn't an everyday occurrence. It's not something that we have in each of our services. We would love if it would be, but we tend to have kind of blocks or times throughout the year when we bring people together for baptism. So because of that, sometimes it needs a bit of an explanation or a bit of an understanding on why we do it. Why is it that Rosie and David want to get baptized today? Well, we've heard their stories. We've heard some of the work that God has been doing in their lives. But to explain a little bit more about baptism, I'd like to talk you through another story from the Bible this evening. And we find this in Acts chapter 8. It's a story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. So some of you will know it, some of you won't. But what I'm going to do is we're going to read through it together, and I'm going to stop at different points and kind of talk a little bit about what that could mean for us, and particularly for baptism. So we're going to read, starting verse 26, so Acts 8, 26. I'm going to read it from here, but if you want to follow me, there are Bibles just in the pews in front of you, if that's easier for you. So Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 6. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go towards the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." "This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. Now, first things first in a story, it's always good to introduce the key characters, set the scene and tell you what's happening. So, first of all, we have Philip, who's been one of the chosen deacons or leaders of the early church. He'd been traveling around the countries in the area around Israel and around Asia, as we now know it, under God's direction, telling people about Jesus and the great work that he'd done. And as we see at the beginning of this story, the first thing we're told is an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go towards the south." He's taking his direction from God. He's not deciding, "Oh, I'm just going to go off here today and see what happens, or I'm going to go there." He is earnestly seeking and praying and asking God, where is it that he wants him to be? And what we also meet the Ethiopian eunuch, who from the description that we're not given a name, but we're told that he's a man of great authority. He's in charge of the whole treasury. He's a little bit like Susie in Sterling Baptist. She's the most important person that we need to keep happy, that we need to keep all our budgets in control. She's the person, if you want to spend anything, you've got to go to. This is the guy you want to keep on side. Quite an important person. But what we also know is that he's a long way from home. And that we're told that he's come to worship in Jerusalem, meaning that even though he isn't a Jew by tradition or by family, he believes in the teachings of Judaism, and he's come to Jerusalem to worship and be part of the community there. But we also know that he's now leaving, and he's heading away back to his home. The location, we're told that it's a desert road, and historically this road is now a disused road, so there wouldn't have been many people on it. It would have been fairly deserted. So Philip's probably thinking, why are you sending me down this road? I don't really know who I'm going to meet or what's going to happen. But he does, he sees this Ethiopian in a chariot who are surrounded probably by a large amount of people, a large entourage. And what we know is that the eunuch is inside reading. And as we see on later, he's reading the writings of Isaiah that we find in today's Old Testament. But what happens next? We've set the scene, we've set the story, and we read next in verses 29 to 35, the story as it unpacks. So, verse 29. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied to him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began with this scripture. He told the good news about Jesus. We do not know how fast the chariot was going, but we are told that Philip had to run to catch up with it. So there it is, a eunuch sitting in his chariot reading a text from our Old Testament. And upon looking up, he saw a man running alongside him. And what does Philip do? He asks the eunuch if he understands what he is reading. And he responds with, "How can I unless someone guides me?" He wants to understand. He wants to know what this passage is telling him, what that means for his life. And just like Rosie and David have said this evening, they wanted to know for themselves. Their faith is not something that is coming from their youth leaders or their friends around them, from their parents, but they want their faith and their understanding of the Bible to be something that is personal to them. He didn't want this to be something that someone else knew, but he wanted it to be a personal understanding. And he knew the only way he was going to do this is if he had a personal relationship and he was to read and study the Word of God for himself and to understand it personally. But what does the particular passage that he was reading say? It says, "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Now, to me and to people who know the story of Jesus, this reads like an account of Jesus' death on the cross. But we know that these words were written 800 years before Jesus even existed on the earth. And the eunuch's response to this is, who is he talking about? And how does Philip respond? Philip responds with the gospel, with telling him about the work of Jesus. He preached Jesus to him. Now, we brought him up to date with what had been happening, with what Philip had seen and experienced, with the accounts that we have from the disciples at the time. But he didn't do this by giving him a book and saying, read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you'll know exactly what's happened. Because to be fair, that didn't actually exist yet. But what Philip made sure was that he knew, that the eunuch knew the work of Christ, knew what that meant for him and his relationship with God, that he knew about death, Christ's resurrection, and return to be with God in heaven. But then always with the finale of a story, we have to ask, how did this story finish? Well, verses 36 to 38 tell us. And they say, as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. The eunuch asks, what is next? I believe, I understand what you've said to me. What do I need to do now? Well, some manuscripts of the Bible add in an extra line in verse 37. Those really observant of you in your Bibles will notice that it goes from 36 to 38. There isn't a 37 in this passage. But some manuscripts tell us that when Philip was asked that question, he said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The eunuch asks what needs to happen for me to be baptized. And Philip responds with a believing heart and a desire. And the eunuch says, I have these things. And as we've heard this evening from Rosie and David, they're not getting baptized because they've been told to or forced to, but because they want to. Because they understand that the next step for them in their relationship with God is to be part of a public declaration of baptism. The eunuch had made a profession of faith in Christ, just like Rosie and David will do when they enter the water. He was baptized and welcomed into the community of believers, exactly as we will do this evening. And that is exactly what is happening. As David and Rosie enter the water, you've already heard them make a profession of faith, saying that just like the eunuch, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I believe that with all of my heart. This is the exciting moment that young person had earlier. This is the exciting moment of this evening for each of us to be here. They will go under the water, which will represent a death to their old life, and they'll come back up beginning a new one. Not because Rosie will have a new job or David will have a new school to go to tomorrow, or not because everything will be perfect for them from now on, but because they know from this point onwards, they have stepped out and they have said, this is who I believe and this is who I want to have a relationship with. And as they come again, they will rise again into that new life, because that is what Jesus represents to each and every one of us. Let's pray together this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the accounts in your Bible, in your word that we have of people understanding your word and coming to be baptized and to say that they wholeheartedly believe in you. We thank you for Rosie and David for doing that same thing this evening. And we pray that as we continue to understand more about you, as we continue to learn more about you, Father, we would understand that fundamentally our relationship with you is about our heart and about our love and our relationship with you, our Father. In your name, amen.